Well, words, words, words. How many words do you guys know? In the English language, I don't know if you knew this, did a little research this week, there are about close to 500,000 words, known words in the English language, and that's changing every year because actually thousands of words are added to our language all the time. For instance, 10 years ago, who would have imagined the word texting would be a verb? You know, is that something? But lots of words are added all the time to our language. Well, how much talking do we do in a day with words, for instance? There was in 2008 a study done by Dr. Leanne Brizendine. She's a professor of psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco. And she wrote this book back in 2008 called The Female Brain. And in it, she said, on average, women speak 20,000 words a day, but men speak 7,000. Okay? All right. Now, she makes the point, she says, that the female brain is a lean, mean communicating machine. But actually, you know where she got the statistics from? I found out, if you read the notes, she got them from a book written by a man named Alan Pease. And you know what his book was called? Why Men Can't Talk and Women Can't Read Maps. Well, anyway, interesting, huh? We all have our gifts. All right. Well, any rate, but women, you have to understand this. If you have a man in your life, and you come home from work, and or from whatever, and he comes home, and you want to sit down and have a talk with him, and he won't talk, and you go, why won't you talk to me? You know, he might just have to say to you, you know, I'm sorry, but I used up my 7,000 words at 4 o'clock today. Try it, guys, see if it works, I don't know. Well, any rate, and words, words, words. What are words? Language is important. But even with that, 70% of all communication is nonverbal, isn't it? So I got a kick out of this back when I was doing counseling. I'd see somebody in a session, a couple or something, and the guy would be looking really tense, and I'd say, you look kind of angry. And he'd go, I'm not angry. You know? So what do you believe, right? All right. The same, our recent trip to Peru, it was so interesting. Five of us went down as our travel team to Philadelphia Church just during the beginning of the season of Advent. And for most of the time, we had translators, high school kids and college kids from our church, Philadelphia Church. But there were meals. We ate almost all of our meals in people's homes. It was really so amazing and touching and a sign of getting kind of deeper with them. But at any rate, at those meals, oftentimes we didn't have translators. And it was amazing how much communication could go on with a little dictionary and lots of nonverbals. It's amazing. I think mostly what got communicated was our love for each other in Jesus Christ. That's what God communicated. It was pretty awesome. Words, words, words. Words have life, don't they? They have, whether they're spoken or written words, they can make peace. They can start wars, can't they? They can calm people down, or they can stir people to action. Little quiz here. Where does this come from? The force be with you. There you go, Star Wars. How about this one? Where does this come from? Quidditch. There you go, Harry Potter. How about this one? You have to be a little older to know this one. One for the Gipper. Huh? Huh? Yeah, Ronald Reagan said he was the actor in the 40s in the movie called One for the Gipper. It was about Newt Rockne, the football player, right? Or was he the player? Or the coach? The coach. Jack's old enough to know this. That's good. Thank you. Well, at any rate, okay, so here's another one. This is one of my favorite ones I've learned since I've come to Texas. Bless their hearts. You know what that means. All right, and here's one last one. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Who said that? Yeah. How many of you have seen that series of on the Roosevelts on TV? Oh, gosh, it's been fascinating. Really amazing. Whatever your political stripes, doesn't matter. Fascinating history from Teddy Roosevelt forward. And do you know that during the Great Depression, during that incredible time, and none of these people are perfect, we all get that, right? But that time, you know how FDR kind of helped calm down a fear-filled nation? Those fireside chats on the radio, you know? Most people, just like in Peru, everybody has a cell phone now, even if they have nothing else. People had a radio back in those days. And they sat huddled around their radios listening for a word of hope in their desperate situation, many of them, you know. But, you know, a lot of people don't remember this, but Eleanor Roosevelt, too. Do you know that she wrote a daily column for the newspapers during that time? And she also had her own weekly radio show. I mean, it was amazing. Those two and all the Roosevelt, they were powerful users of words. Leaders can be that way. In some ways, the two of them acted as calming parents to a scared and fearful family during that Great Depression and during the Second World War. Well, why all this about words? You heard it in our gospel reading. In the beginning was the Word. The, big word, huh? The Word. The one Word, the all-defining Word. And this Word is the ultimate communication. The Word was, as John says, was with God, and in fact it was God. This is the Word. It calls into being all things, from the whirling planets, galaxies that we haven't even seen yet, that are already gone out of existence already, probably, all the way down to your little beating heart, pitter-patter heart, all of it created by this one creating Word. The word in Hebrew for word, you know what it is? Anybody? Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, Dabar. And the word for word in Hebrew, it means a lot more than just an idea. It means action. So when, for instance, God says, let there be light, boom! You know, whether it's by some cosmic explosion or however, there was light. See, there's action in words. And then in the New Testament, you know what the word is for word in this passage in Greek? Yeah, somebody said it. Logos. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. And you know what that word means? It's the root word for the word logic. And it means organizing principle. Interesting. In the beginning was the organizing principle. How do you like that? Interesting thought. For all that exists, right? So however you look at this, you know, it was all with God and it was God. Now, you could just sit back in your easy chair today and ignore football. Not, probably. But, and just ponder this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you just sat and thought about that one verse for a few minutes, it could just blow your mind. Think about it. Just think about it. It's just awesome. But you know, as much as that's a big deal to me, as I read this passage this week, there's another one that just stuck in my mind that just keeps hitting me. And it's almost too big to express. But it's at the heart of the Christian message. It's verse 14. And please repeat this after me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, obviously great minds think alike, because Jackie sitting here this week, she was so compelled by that verse that she had to go home and make a banner about it. So I want you to make sure you notice the banner in the narthex as you come in, and really pay attention to it. Think about it. Meditate on it, because it says just those words. The Word became flesh. This Word that's the eternal Word that created everything chose to become one of us and be with us. Wow. Think about that one. Ponder that one for a while. You know. Because you know what? As much as we human beings lose track of this, it's still the absolute truth. Grace and truth. The Word becomes flesh, full of grace and truth. You know? And that's what this manger here holds. It's full of grace and truth. And it says later in this passage, and from it we've all received grace upon grace upon grace. It's such a gift from the giver of all things. My gosh. There's nothing you can do to outgive this incredible gift of God, this Christmas gift, the most important one you have ever received and ever will. You know, when we human beings had so hopelessly tried to mess up God's creation, God didn't just give up on us. Instead, he became one of us. just he begins us again, so to speak, as at the very beginning of creation. Now in John he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is still powerful and active. It's still acting, it's still speaking, it's still impacting on our lives. You want a fresh start this new year? Start with this. In the beginning is the Word. And it's a Word that you can't destroy, you can't do anything about, but just receive, and it's yours to start every new beginning with. Nothing has to get in the way anymore, see? You've been given a new beginning full of grace and truth right here. How awesome is that? Nobody can take this gift away from you. Nobody. It's got your name tag on it. I want to share with you this Christmas gift one last time because, you know, sometimes words of other people can be real helpful. And to me, Martin Luther, who preached sometimes three sermons a day at Christmas time, he just loved this story. This is in one of his Christmas sermons, and I just want you to hear a little bit of it as a gift to you from him. Let us then meditate upon the Word, just as we see it happening in our own babies. I would not have you contemplate the deity of Christ, the majesty of Christ, but rather his flesh. Look upon the baby Jesus. Divinity may terrify us. Inexpressible majesty can crush us. That is why Christ took on our humanity, save for sin, that he should not terrify us, but rather that with love and favor he should console and confirm. Behold Christ lying in the lap of his young mother. What can be sweeter than the babe? What more lovely than the mother? What more gracious? Look at that Christ child, knowing nothing, yet all that is belongs to him. That your conscience should not fear, but take comfort in him. Laugh with him. Look upon him springing in the lap of the maiden. Look upon this Lord of peace, and your spirit will be at peace. See how God invites you in so many ways? He places before you a babe with whom you may take refuge. You cannot fear him, for nothing is more appealing to us than a baby. Are you frightened? Then come to him. Lying in the lap of the fairest and sweetest maid, you will see how great is the divine goodness which seeks above all else that you should not despair. Trust him, trust him, trust him. Here is the child in whom is salvation. To me, Luther says, there's no greater consolation given to mankind than this, that Christ became man, a child, a babe, playing in the lap and at the breasts of his most gracious mother. Now, who is there whom this sight would not comfort? Now is overcome the power of sin, death, hell, conscience, and guilt. If you come to this gurgling babe and believe that he has come not to judge you, but to save. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.